Well, I have a time of it today, getting here. Very apt title, The Race. I got 3/4 of the way to church this evening from about 10 miles out. And I forgot something. What did I forget? Well, the memory stick for tonight. How can you preach a sermon without a memory stick and a PowerPoint? So, Get Back in the Race is my title. This is, I think, the fifth talk that I've done from Hebrews. And I want to spend a little bit of time just recapping some of the previous messages from this as a precursor to tonight. Get back in the race. Some of us might not even feel that we're in the race. Some of us might feel that we're very much in the race and tired. And some of us just needing a bit of encouragement tonight, and I hope that this will be an encouragement for us, because remembering the purpose of the book of Hebrews, the writer was writing to a group of people who, Hebrew Christians, who were faced with challenges and they wanted to give up. They wanted to go back. They were facing increased persecution. They were facing difficulty. Is Jesus really who he says he is? This is what they're wrestling with. Wouldn't it be better just to go back to the old ways of doing things, to the old Judaism? And the writer to the Hebrews reminds them of these themes, and we've covered these over these past couple of months. Jesus is greater than the angels. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than the Old Testament priesthood. He is a better covenant, and he is a perfect sacrifice. He provides a greater tabernacle. He is the tabernacle. He's greater than the Old Testament tabernacle or temple. And we're reminded in the previous message that he is the one true object of our faith. And there's that great cloud of witnesses who stand to testify to whom he is. And if you look at the book of Hebrews, one of the things that strikes you, and it certainly struck me this morning as I was reading it, was the word therefore, and therefore introduces a teaching point and a powerful concept. And going back through the whole book of Hebrews, we have these therefores, like punctuation marks, coming clear. And we're reminded that Jesus is indeed greater than the angels. And for us, Jesus is greater than any religious experience, any memory that may have happened or some point. He's greater. And Hebrews 3 says these words, therefore, realizing that he's greater, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and our high priest. He is faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all of God's house. And Moses was faithful, but Jesus Christ was the Son of God over God's house. He was the Son over the house. Jesus is greater than Moses. Moses, if you remember the story of the Old Testament, when the people of Israel came through the wilderness, you'll remember that some of those people didn't enter God's rest, and Moses didn't enter God's rest. Jesus is greater than any religious leader that we may have or conceive of. He's greater than Moses. Therefore, since, there's that word again, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, and they are the people, the Jews, going through the wilderness. But the message they heard was of no value for them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Faith and obedience going together. Jesus is greater than the Old Testament priesthood. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. And therefore, let us move beyond. We're reminded to go beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity in him. So he's greater than the Old Testament priesthood. And there are more therefores. Jesus Christ is a better covenant. It's not a sense of religious ritual, a sense of performance, but he is the way and the truth and the life. That song that we sung earlier, help me find my way back to you. You are all I want. You're all I ever needed. He is the way into the Father's presence. If you're looking for the way, he is the way. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. God is reminding us through that word that obedience is better than sacrifice. Christ came into the world. He's a greater sacrifice. He's a greater covenant. He's a better covenant. And he provides a better model of worship, a greater tabernacle. The Old Testament, we touched on this two sermons ago. What was the temple and what were the different ingredients and how might one come? But Hebrews speaks very clearly and gives us a great picture, a very powerful picture. Without the book of Hebrews, we would not have that picture of Jesus Christ, the temple of God. We come in, into the presence through him, through his blood, through his body. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain. Remember, the curtain of the temple was torn in two when Jesus died on the cross. That is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the whole house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. And we're reminded, aren't we, of the faithful, the evidence of the lives well lived, those heroes of the faith of the Old Testament. And we talked about that, the heroes of faith, those who, like Abraham, trusted in God, Sarah trusted in God, even though they were old. And God said to them, you will become a father of many nations. And they believed him, and it was credited as righteousness. They had faith. And faith comes through hearing. And faith is that thing, that substance. Remember, that substance of things unseen. Things that may not yet have happened, but things that also cannot be seen because they are part of the mystery of God. And we cannot, the Bible tells us, Hebrews reminds us that it's impossible to please God without it. I think that's a challenge to, it's a challenge to me. And when I read these words, I have to say, I probably learn more from this than anybody. This is a challenge. How do we walk by faith in a dark world? How do we walk by faith knowing that God is in control, in command? By faith we walk. So that's a recap. That's a quick recap or slow recap, I don't know. A 10-minute recap on where we've got to in the book of Hebrews. And chapter 12, which is nearing the end of the book, has three big therefores. And we're going to just look at those together. And we're going to look at them in the context of the race. The race. Let's read this one. Should we read this together? Can you see that okay? Let's read this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Thank you, Lord, for that word to us this evening. Heavenly Father, just as we come and expound this scripture together, would you teach us what it is to run with you, to look to you, to look around, to draw strength from your example and from the example of others. And Lord, would you help us in our lives to recognize that which gets in the way and that which equips us, Father. Lord, give us open hearts. Give me an open heart and open ears and open eyes this evening to just ponder your word and allow it to speak to us. Your word never returns empty. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So I don't know about you. What do you think about as being a race? What your image of it is? Is it a short run? Perhaps you never run at all. You're very sensible. Some of you are looking horrified. I thought about this, and I had the picture of the steeplechase. I don't know if you know the steeplechase. I came across this picture. I Googled steeplechase and thought that was quite appropriate. I think I felt a bit like that coming here tonight, in the ditch, almost. I didn't get caught by the police on the way back. But it seems to me that times that the Christian race is a bit up and downy, isn't it? The steeplechase, it comes from Ireland, apparently. I'm told lots of things come from Ireland. And the old Irish used to run from one church to another, one steeple to another. They could see them. And of course, in the process of doing so, there would be ditches and hedges and mud and all sorts of things that they would have to navigate. And I kind of quite like this idea of the steeplechase, because it's kind of an obstacle course, really. It's not a sprint. It's quite a long way. And it looks quite painful to me. And yeah, I can kind of relate to that. The race. So we're all called into a race. And there's lots in that scripture that we read together, I think, that can really point us forwards to, I don't know, hints, tips, call it what you will, encouragements to run the race together. And the first is, to me, is to look at our example, our prime example, who is Christ. It says in that word, doesn't it, that let us fix our eyes upon Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's actually run it before us, so he knows what it's like. He went to a place that none of us will ever have to go to. He died that we will never have to. Look at the example of his person. What is his nature? The author and the perfecter of our faith. He did that for you and for me, for us. And by his example. And it says in Hebrews that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. I don't know about you, if you're sort of thinking about doing something. I know sports people often do this. I'm not one of them, but I do use this technique. Is just imagining yourself, you know, at the, I don't know, the finish line, or when I used to do high jump. Isn't that pathetic, really, as a joke? Well, I call it the low jump. They always used to say, aim just a little bit, you know, a foot above the bar, so that you'd get over. So set your eyes. I always think of Peter too, Peter the apostle, when he was in the boat and Jesus is coming to him over the waves, and he puts his hand out and he says, like, you know, take my hand, can you walk in the water? Peter gets out of the boat, but you know, he looks down, doesn't he? And when he looks down, he sees the waves, he sees the daily troubles about him, and he starts to sink, and Jesus grabs hold of him and says, yeah, come on, Peter, you can do this, you know, you can do this. So look at Christ, he's our first port of call, isn't he? Look at him. For the joy set before him, he aimed, he ran, he went for it. And look at the examples around us. Look at the faithful. Look at the stories of old and not so old. I love testimony. I don't know about you. I love to hear what God is doing. Not just what he did many years, many centuries ago, but I want to hear what he's doing now. I want to be a testimony because I want to be able to say that the Lord is doing this now in our lives. But look around at the examples, that great cloud of witnesses that you remember that we have. We are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. I'm sure if one were ever to run in the Olympics and you're in the stadium and everyone was cheering, you'd get a lot of energy. People talk, don't they? They said in the London Olympics that the British team took encouragement from the fact that the people were cheering and they felt kind of almost spurred on, maybe added a few extra tenths of a second to their time. So look at the others as they go. And then look to ourselves, look at yourself. I actually really, this struck me perhaps for the first time. It says, let us cast off everything that hinders, throw off everything that hinders, the sin that easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The race marked out for us. I don't know if I'm right, but it feels to me like the word is saying, it's your race, it's my race, it's a different race for each one. Each one of us will have a different experience. Each one of us will have different challenges in our lives. What's a big issue for me may not be a big issue for you. What's a stumbling block for me may not be a stumbling block for you. But we have our own race that is set before us. When you get to my age, I do a bit of running. I'm not very good. When you get to my age, you're not really competing with other people. I'm not anyway. I'm just really competing with myself and seeing how well I can do. It's actually my race and my muscles that are in pain afterwards. What equips us for the race and what hinders us? You know, training is painful, isn't it? And you know, discipline is painful and getting out of bed to go running in the rain is awful. But you feel great afterwards. I always say that the bacon sandwich afterwards is so much nicer when you've been for a run. But, you know, when you haven't been for one for a wee while, then what do you find? That your legs aching all over the place, don't they? And you've got pains in places you never thought you had pains. If you cycle and you've never cycled before, you'll realize that you've got muscles in places that are quite unspeakable. We're in training. And you know, one of the encouraging things about this passage, I have not read the whole passage, but it goes on to talk about enduring hardship as discipline. And God is treating us as his children. When our muscles hurt, in inverted commas, when we're finding it tough, when we're finding it hard going, we're not alone. You're not alone. I'm not alone. This journey is not unique. It might be my race, it might be your race, but we're all children. And actually, when we go through hard times, when we go through tough times, we can take encouragement. God loves us. He loves us. He loves me. I would not be feeling that if he didn't love me. He cares for me. He's my best coach. If you've ever done any coaching, sometimes it can be quite painful, whether it's sporting, whether it's professional. Sometimes the questions go quite deep, don't they? And we have to come face to face with who we are. And that's painful. No discipline feels great at the time, but afterwards we get the benefit from it. You're talking to... I'm the biggest coward here when it comes to all this. Believe you me. Doesn't feel good at the time, But it reaps a reward. It reaps its harvest, doesn't it? So we're loved. And when we're going through tough times, God is treating us as his sons and his daughters. Because he loves us. And he wants us to be precious, special. We are. But he wants us to run in that race and finish that race. So, what equips me? What equips us in the race? Well, I was going to dress up in my running gear, but I thought I'd spare you the embarrassment of it all. But what do we have in here? This is the reason I forgot my memory stick. I remembered all this, but look at these. My shoes are filthy, but they're great. And they're great because they actually protect my feet from running. And we need to prepare. Paul says in Ephesians, he talks about putting on the whole armor, doesn't he, of God. He talks about the feet being shed with the readiness of the gospel. He wouldn't run in bare feet. There was a runner, I think her name was Zola Budd, for those older ones of you who remember, who ran in her bare feet. I don't recommend it. I certainly wouldn't do it in Llangefni. But we need cushions and soles. Allow these things to speak to you tonight. What is God speaking to us about preparedness for the race? What do we need to put on? It's one thing taking stuff off, isn't it? But it's another thing putting stuff on. These are my long socks. And these provide protection for my muscles. And they stop cramp. Sometimes being a 50-something-year-old runner, you spend more time injured than actually running. But these things actually prevent. And it's sensible to take precautions when you go. Even sometimes, I don't know about you, but the memory of an injury, and let's think about that in its broader sense now, an injury to the heart, a memory of an injury almost makes the injury come back. I don't know, I find that sometimes, because you worry, you think it's going to come back and you start to panic. And that can be damaging, and that can be hard. This protects us, and God protects us. He protects us in all of these. I've obviously run in shorts, of course. In the old days, probably ancient Greece, they wouldn't have run with anything on except possibly something on their feet, I guess, because clothes weigh, don't they? But these are very nice and light. And this... this is my top, which means I can be seen. And let's think about this in terms of our walk or our run with Christ. To be seen. It's also light too, I should say. So, these are the things that help. And these are the things that keep me and keep us in the race. Being equipped properly, covering ourselves, putting on it's not a suit of armor, as Paul described it in Ephesians, but it is kind of like an armor. Put on the equipment that we need. Prayer. The helmet of righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. You know them, don't you? You know them. And train. Let's train. And here's the second therefore. I'm nearly there. Therefore, having cast off that which gets in the way, and having put on that which helps, Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees, and make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. How do we do that? Well, those things that hinder, let's cast them off. I don't know about you, if I ever eat cheese, I get very weird dreams. And I had a cheese dream this morning. It was one of those ones where, you know, strange and weird things happen. And in this cheese dream that I had, long story short, it was quite a long one. I was trapped in some kind of holiday camp, which sounds like a nightmare. And it was raining and there was mud everywhere. And well, I lost my mobile phone. I think it had fallen down a drain or something. And I was trying to reach, I can't remember, Jill or somebody to come and rescue me from this nightmare. And in this dream, I was carrying loads of different things that seemed necessary at the time, like an umbrella and backpack and a bicycle and an iPad. I can't remember. Probably some kitchen utensil as well. But they all seemed important in this, you know, how it is in dreams. And I just kept dropping them everywhere. And it was kind of like, this is what it feels like sometimes when you've got a lot of stuff hanging around that is just getting in the way. And it was one of those really frustrating things where you wake up in a cold sweat and then you go, oh, thank goodness, it was a dream. Thank heavens, Lord. But it just reminded me, actually, that of there are things that hinder us, things that kind of clog us up, really, and sin that gets in the way. You know, we know that sin entangles. We know that this sin gets in the way. Wrong thoughts, wrong attitudes, hurting one another. But also fear too. Fear keeps me from coming to God. And if you look at the second part of Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about making every effort to live in peace with God, chapter 4, and verse 14, and with all people. But it also goes on to say that we haven't come to a mountain we've not come to a mountain that cannot be touched, and that is burning, and is fire and darkness and storm. That isn't what we're coming to. But we are coming to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. And sometimes we can worry that maybe God doesn't love us or doesn't have the best for us, particularly when we're going through this time of trial, this discipline, these hard times. We can be very, I don't know about you, or I can anyway, I can be very sort of in the moment. Something goes wrong and it kind of frames the whole day or the week or the month. And we miss the bigger picture. Worry can be a great way of actually sort of putting a barrier between us and the Lord. Which is kind of idolatry, isn't it? You know, when we had the Lord's Prayer earlier on, it says, Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in the old version, on earth as in heaven. It's about putting God into that prime position. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And anything that gets in the way of that is basically putting something else on the throne. And we do that, but we need to rip that thing off the throne and put him in its place. You know that he has given us a kingdom, is giving us a kingdom that cannot be shaken. This scripture at the end of Hebrews 12 talks about, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This is talking about how God shakes things up in order to leave behind that which is unshakable. And when we go through tough times, when we go through challenge and training and discipline, there's a shaking going on sometimes. There's a whole lot of shaking going on, I think the song says. And that shaking is about getting rid of that stuff which is kind of transient. I don't know if you've ever done, you know, gardening where you get your soil and you're sort of shaking it and shaking it and you're getting the little fine particles coming through and the rocks are getting stuck behind and you chuck them away. God does these things because he knows what's best for us. He's not guessing. He knows what's best. And it doesn't feel great at the time sometimes. But that which is left behind is unshakable. And the third and final big therefore in this chapter 12, therefore, since you and I are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. He is greater than everything. He's bigger than our fears. He's bigger than our worries. He's bigger than our sins. He's bigger than everything. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than any religious experience you've ever had or will have. He's greater than your understanding of the scriptures. He'll never go outside them. But he will confound us. When we think we've got him in a box, he will confound that because he's greater. He won't be contained by my brain or your brain. Our God is a consuming fire, and we worship him with reverence and awe. And we do that because we can come. We can come into that holy of places through the way opened up for us. Wow, what a mystery. What a privilege. What a responsibility. And I just want to just finish with these thoughts for you as we come and sing our final song. 10,000 reasons to give you thanks, Lord, this evening and forever. Because you're not just here for now, you're here for eternity. I watched, and I don't want to make my wife upset, but my mother-in-law passed away 3 weeks ago. And she slipped into the presence of Jesus, just like slipping into the next room, with no fear, no anxiety, no stress, no strain. I know she was worried about it, but when the time came, the Lord was gracious and compassionate. He's there, not just for now, but right through, and he will bring us on into eternity. So blessed are they who die in the Lord. And we've got eternity to live with him and be clothed by him. So you and I, we were created to make a mark. We are created to make a mark. Run the race. Run the race set out for you, marked out for you and for me. We're created to make a mark on the world. You know, we can't do it on our own, can we? We need God's Spirit. We need his Holy Spirit with us. I want to end with this verse because it's an encouragement that we are jars of clay, but within these kind of earthen vessels, there's treasure. God's placed treasure in each one of you here. Each one of us is special. Not because we're kind of that special in a way, but it shows that God, in his all-surpassing power, loves us, uses you and me for his purpose. So, let's stay in the race, as they say. Let's keep our eyes focused on him. Let's run the race. Let's cast off that which keeps us down. Let's put on that armor. Be filled with the Spirit. And know that there's treasure in each one of us. Let's pray as the band comes up. My Father, thank you, Lord, that you love us, Father God, so much. That you love us so much that you opened up a way for us. Lord, thank you so much that you equip us for the race. Thank you that you set us the example of your Son, Jesus Christ, through his life and his witness and his death and his resurrection. Thank you, Lord, that you raise up and have raised up over the generations saints who show us the way. And thank you, Lord, also that you equip us through your Spirit. You fill us, you enable us. So, Father, we come. We ask you for your strength. Help us to keep running the race marked out for us and to finish in style. In the name of Jesus, amen.